Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Documented Angels module. And we are in part two. And I tell you, I just so love this module. And I want to remind you, the goal of this particular module, well, as it is with the whole school, is that our prayer is, God, increase the capacity of my spirit, of my faith, in order to believe you for these operations of God, for these benefits that belong to the church. And I believe that as we go through this whole study, and in particular, angels, when you realize, oh, wait a minute, the ministry of angels is for the church, that means it's for me. And so therefore, Lord, I am believing you for angels to come and minister and to help me. And so important. Well, let's begin in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the foundation that's been laid. And Father, we're just going to continue to walk in it in Jesus' name. Increase our capacity for the things that belong to your kingdom. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we get into this, let's just kind of go back and remember kind of what we were looking at in the first lesson, is that angels are used to deliver messages, or in some sense, it's direction. And so God chooses to do that, and he's allowed to do it, and he likes to do it. And so there are times we are receiving messages from God, and actually it's the ministry of an angel. Now, the Lord doesn't always have to show us, oh, that's an angel. He doesn't have to do it, because the purpose is that we get the message and obey the Lord. That's the goal of it. And I remember years ago I was at a junkyard. I was looking for parts for a vehicle, and so I had gone over to the junkyard, and I was there. I didn't see anybody in that junkyard. I got in there, found the area I needed to be in, and I found the part that I needed. Oh, it was almost brand new. The problem was I didn't have the tool needed to get that piece of equipment off of that vehicle. And I was at a loss. Oh, is this a waste? You know, I don't have the tool that's needed. And all of a sudden, a guy appears from nowhere, and he has the tool, and he comes over. We get the piece of equipment off, and he says, do you need anything else? No, thank you. That's wonderful. And I thought, where did you come from? I haven't seen anybody out here. And then I never saw the guy again. And so I drove away thinking, that was really interesting. I didn't see anybody there. And he had a tool that I needed, and was able to get that part off, got it for me, never saw the guy again. And now I want you to listen to this. I thought, was that an angel? But then I kind of corrected myself. And I said, Lord, it doesn't matter whether it was an angel or a man. The end result was I needed help, and I got help. And that was the purpose. And so I began to just praise and worship the Lord. And that's what we need to understand. Too many people get caught up with angels. They start focusing on it. Oh, it was an angel. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But what was the message, or what was the assistance that we received? And that's where we begin to praise God and to worship the Lord, that he's right there, he's helping us. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we get into this. Our focus is the Lord, our focus is the Word of God, and there are times where he sends the angel of the Lord. and it's wonderful, and I can't you know deny that. Well, let's go on here. We're going to pick up with number 6. Peter is delivered. Acts 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined into the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell from his hands. Note, standing before the throne of the Father and the exalted Jesus, remember, we are his body. Those angels are sent to minister on behalf of the Lord to the Lord, and we are his body. This angel received an impartation of power for Peter's deliverance. Remember, the church was in constant fervent prayer for his release. As the angel entered the prison, the light of his countenance lit the prison up, while the guards remained spiritually dumb and blinded to the whole event. The presence of the glory of God upon the angel caused the chains binding Peter to fall off. This story is a testimony of fervent corporate prayer and the privilege that belongs to the church if she will rise up and engage in that prayer. You know, I think here we have the importance of this angel was coming out of the realm of glory. When Jesus was born, the Bible says that the angels were singing, and I mean the glory of God was so manifest in the heavens as these angels were manifested to these shepherds, and they never forgot that. But here this angel, he's coming in the glory and the power of the throne of God, and when he walks in there, that light just coming off of his face. Can you imagine what the throne of God is going to be like? The angel doesn't have light in and of himself. That light that was so permeating comes because he was before the throne of God. Now that's light. Moses had the same situation. He came down from the throne, from the mountain where he was with the Lord, and his face was so bright. And they said, "Oh, you got to cover your face, Moses. It's so bright." And I don't even know. Maybe at night, Mrs. Moses was like, "You know, you're lighting the whole tent up with your face. Can you wear that mask again?" And it's just an interesting thought. But even though he came with such glory for Peter, it was darkness, and those guards knew nothing of what was happening. That's powerful. So you got to meditate this. How many times do we need that in our lives as we're going into nations where we need to minister to the people of God, but there are those who are in opposition to the gospel, they hate God, and we need that glory upon us to bring darkness upon them so they don't hinder the gospel. Very interesting. So it's important we study this so that our capacity of understanding increases. We need the ministry of angels. Let's go on. Number 7, Acts 12, verse 15. Peter's angel. I like this one. And they said to her, "Thou art mad." Now, this is the group that were praying, okay? And the young girl said, "Peter's at the door." And they said, no, you're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was so. Then said they, "It is his angel." Early church was not unfamiliar or ignorant of the ministry of angels in their midst. These believers were very familiar with Old Testament writings about the ministry of angels. In this passage, we are given insight into the heavenly helper that ministered to Peter and with Peter as he cared for the church and preached the gospel to the lost. Psalms 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Peter had an angel that helped him, that ministered with him. And these Christians knew that. Now, obviously, earlier on in this study, we saw that Peter was in jail before, and the angel came and opened all the doors and said, go back and preach. And so that story was out there. So these believers knew that. And I don't know if there were other stories that the book of Acts just doesn't tell you. But these people knew there is an angel that travels with, ministers with Peter. And they called it his angel. Wow, that's interesting. You know, do you have an angel? Do I have an angel? Well, I believe we do. And I think the more that we endeavor to serve the Lord, to follow him, that these angels become very much participants in our obedience as we seek to build the kingdom of God. We need help, and we can't do the will of God without them, and angels can't do the will of God without us. We're all in this together. Let's go on to number 8. Oh, now, this is an interesting one. Acts chapter 12, verse 23. An angel removes a king. Immediately, the angel of the Lord smote Herod. He hit him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost, meaning that was it. Note, the Bible talks about angels with swords. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 16. What a thought. Think about that. Angels and swords. Obviously, they're not natural swords like we know. And their weapons are different. And the Bible says we have weapons. Weapons that are not of this world. And I don't know, maybe an angel with this special sword is one of the weapons that we have access to as we pursue the Lord with his word, standing on his word, we have weapons. And this is a thought. A flaming sword guarded the way to the tree of life in Genesis chapter 3. A sword again. An angel with a sword was sent to strike Balaam as he rode his donkey en route to curse the Israelites. That's Numbers 22:25. So it is here. Except we see a man who was struck by the angel. Now, in the other examples, we didn't get to see the angel hit people with the sword, right? It must have been an astounding sight to see a king fall off his throne with a slice through his body, causing his insides to fall out. Meaning, how did everybody know that his insides were full of worms? How did they know that? Well, I believe that when that sword touched him, he exploded, and everybody saw what was on the inside of this ungodly king. And the other thing is, the Bible says he was eaten up with worms. I believe those worms from hell were already in him. When he killed James, I believe that those worms that are already down there, the Bible says there's a worm that is eating and devouring in hell, and those worms were already in this king. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and there are angels, and angels deliver judgments. It's important to fear the Lord. Now, Daniel 2, verse 21, and God changes the times and seasons. He removes kings, and that's what we see here. And he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And then let's look at Daniel 4, verse 17. The matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will, and he sets up over it the basest of men, even the lowliest of men. So Daniel 4, verse 17. Now, when you look at these two verses in Daniel, you realize that there is a category of angels that are called watchers. And I think the best way to describe a watcher is one who watches. He watches and pays attention to the throne of God so that when times and seasons are changing or judgments are being delivered, these angels are sent from the throne of God and they begin to administrate that operation of God's Spirit or change. And the book of Revelation is full of the ministry of watcher angels. I don't believe these angels are our guardian angels, our delivering angels, the angel that stands by Peter to minister and to help him. These are different. These are the type of angels that stand in the sun and lift up their hands, lift up a sword, begin to declare things, and things change. And so we see this in the book of Acts. We see that the ministry of these watcher angels are very present, very real. And so, it's pretty amazing. Now, let's go to the uttermost parts of the earth, number 9. Now, this is going to be the final example of angels ministering in the book of Acts. So, an angel sent to protect, Acts 27:23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. Note, this passage is the first mention of angelic ministry outside the boundaries of Israel. The Bible gives all believers spread across the nations the assurance of heaven's help through the ministry of God's celestial servants. Paul's love for the Lord and the assurance of his relationship with the Lord brings a wonderful nuance of understanding concerning the ministry of angels. The presence of the angel emanating God's faith and power brought such encouragement to Paul concerning what? His relationship with the Lord. Though this is the last account of ministry of the angels in the book of Acts, it is by no way the last account of their labors on behalf of believers who would come after Paul. Even the writer of this study, me, Eric Casto, on the book of Acts, has experienced the faithfulness of the Lord's presence through the help and ministry of angels. Truly, the Lord has never left us as orphans, John 14:18. He is with us, Matthew 28:20. Now, I think that this example is such a powerful example, especially in it is the last example of the ministry of angels in the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is not the end of church history. It's really the beginning. And I really believe that this account of angelic ministry is right concerning it's the last thought that we're left with in the book of Acts. You say, what are you talking about? Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul was so in love with God, and he served the Lord. And here we see this beautiful relationship of the Father in heaven and his children who serve him. Now, not all the children of God serve the Lord. That's a different topic. But here we have those that serve God with all their hearts. And here we see this wonderful example, this wonderful assurance that God sends his angels to those who love the Lord, worship the Lord, and that angel stands guard and delivers. And that's what we're seeing here. The presence of that angel, though in this account, Paul was in a terrible storm, and they should have all died, but the presence of God upon that angel was keeping that boat from sinking, and he was keeping that boat moving into the direction of the will of God. Paul, you're going to Rome, and that's going to be how it's going to be. Doesn't matter that there's a storm. The presence of God on that angel is there to assure Paul, you're going to make it. And of course, everybody on the boat was very thankful because they weren't serving the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. But this man that was in the boat with them served the Lord. And because of that, they were all delivered. And so, you know, I really believe that as the servants of the Lord, we need to be saying, okay, God, help me to walk in your word. And in that, to believe you for the ministry of angels in the earth. We're to be praying the Lord of the harvest to what? Send out laborers into his harvest. So as we pray, we need to be saying, Lord, send angels from your throne to bring messages to your servants. Send angels from your throne to what? Deliver your servants, to protect your servants. Send angels from your throne to what? Remove wicked kings. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof belongs to God. And his throne is established in heaven to declare to all men, the Lord rules. And so, you know, I think this is a study that you need to spend time with. You need to go back over and you need to say, okay, God, keep increasing me here. Keep increasing my understanding. And of course, right before this, we did the persecution module. And so coming out of persecution, we're going into angels. And I tell you what, now you realize why the early church could just move through the persecution and continue to expand in the power of God. So let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study on angels. And Lord, show us how it pertains to us. Show us how to pray. And Lord, we receive this wonderful grace of God that's given to those who love you, to those who serve you. And so, Father, I pray for my friends right now that, Lord, that your angels would minister to them, even as they listen to this, that you would bring deliverance to their lives and help and healing from heaven. Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. And he's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Now go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. And until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.